Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian television network audience and our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world. Joining me today to encourage you is the smiling producer himself, bubbly, full of joy, and just beaming with energy and smile.
Beaming.
Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Didn't change a bit.
If you caught that,
that was a beaming.
That was a beaming. You just got to catch it quick. You got to catch it quick, but thank you.
Take a picture.
The eyebrow was slightly clicked.
Yeah, slightly moved. And of course, Steve Kalishewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Good day. Good day. My goodness.
He's beaming.
We have so much to discuss today. You know, I did mention in a previous program about your cell phone changing.
Yes, do tell.
Oh, well, listen to this. It
give me some good news.
Well, I don't know if it's good. But you know, the iPhone 6 is coming out. Before you know it, someone sent me a picture one time of the iPhone 20, and it's like 3 feet tall. And it's, you know, like a piece of paper,
It's an IMAX screen.
Yeah. Well, now we're up to the iPhone 6, and someone who had owned a previous business, he was selling it actually, told me that.
It's already out?
Well, no, this is coming. He was selling his business.
Oh.
And he was telling me that the future for cell phones is going to be no contracts. That's the future.
Wow.
So you can go anywhere and do anything.
That's good news.
However, you know, when you go and you say, I like those nice, shiny smartphones, and, you know, you kind of pay a couple $100 for the phone, and you think, man, that's a lot of money, you know, $200-$300 for a cell phone. You know, I don't know if a lot of people understand that iPhone didn't cost $200-$300. That iPhone has a $650 cost. That's what it costs, $650. See, you're just paying $200, and that's the reason why you're being locked into a two-year contract, because AT&T, wherever the carrier is, they're actually paying iPhone the other $400, and they're going to make it back off of you because you signed the two-year contract. That's why you got a contract.
Oh, wow.
And if you break the contract, they're going to give us our money because we still got to pay AT&T, Apple, whoever.
Right.
Well, what they're going to do now, they're going to give you the opportunity to buy it yourself. So if you don't want to have a contract.
Nice. You can just pay the whole bill.
Yeah. If you don't want a contract, then you just, you know, write out the check for $650 for the new iPhone. And that's what they say it's going to cost, $650. And you don't have to have a contract. Nope. No contract at all. And they'll actually save you $10 a month on your bill. $10 a month.
So what you're saying is we're just going to get rid of phones.
No. The other option is that they do. Now, they are saying, this is CNN Money who's reporting this, but they also said that, you know, that you still can do the $200 deal, you know, for the cell phone, and then you'll have, you know, a contract, a two-year contract, depending on who the carrier and what they're going to do and all that type of stuff. But it says that they're making them, like, more difficult to find, and you have to, you know, search the website. It's going
to
be...
To
do the contract. I mean, it's going to be there, but it's not something going to say, hey, you can sign up for the contract today. You know what I mean?
No, right.
You're going to have to request it and see what you can do about it. But very interesting how all of that is changing. And I'll tell you, just when you think that... one thing about business is that nothing stays the same. Everything is changing. Everything's always evolving. But these phones, I remember when, you know, the transformation they went through from being a brick that, you know, you carried on the table if you actually bought one, and people were buying phones back then, and all of a sudden you had this contract stuff. And then they went to all these kind of flip, and, you know, I remember when texting first came out, I'm thinking, who's going to do that?
Going to hit three buttons to get one letter.
Yeah, it was always like the kids that were doing it, and I'm like, okay, that would really work. And now, like, obviously they have different phones with full keyboards, and it was a progression, but now everyone's doing it. And it's just interesting what how this is all going to transform, because the last really 5 to 6 years, you've seen, I mean, amazing leaps in technology. You've seen all type of different things that have transpired, and just, you know, it's like, wow, 6 years, amazing. And there's companies that have been on the internet that came out and have really just, I mean, have blown up. I mean, multi-hundred million dollar companies just because of the iPhone. But, you know, technology is great, depends how you use it, and if you make technology submit to you and all of that is great. But, you know, right now there is a future technology that's a little bit concerning. They've come up with this item called a SIO scanner. You know, when you go to, on the internet and you begin to start searching, you know, we live in a culture, everyone is starting to search everything, right? So they're getting on there and they're, you know, looking at whatever information they want on Google. So if you want to know about something, you know, you can Google it. But what if you saw an item and you don't even know what it is? There's no way really to, at this present moment, find out what is that thing. I see it everywhere, or it's hanging from the store or whatever, but I don't even know what it is. Well, some developers have created and invented this scanner. It's called a SIO scanner, and it looks like a USB, you know, stick, if you will, and I guess it connects through Bluetooth to your phone. But you can actually scan. This is Wired is reporting this. You can actually scan the item if it's an Apple or whatever, you know, and it will tell you. They're creating this database of objects, and all you have to do is scan them. And then, of course, you can share with them, you know, socially and virally and all these different things. And so they have a Kickstart campaign, and where they're trying to raise venture funding because they want to get this out. Within 33 days, this project has raised $1.2 million, far surpassing their $200,000 goal. And these are people that just are just throwing money into this thing. It's like, Kickstart campaign. Got to remember that. But this thing is out. And so it causes you to think like, hey, man, where are we going with all of this? I mean,
databases.
You know, where are we going with this? They have technology, and you're going to see this. You're going to see this really soon. Called 3D printing. And literally, you bring a printer home. I believe it was like Office Depot selling them, where you can, it'll print a three-dimensional object. So you're working on something, instead of going to Lowe's, you know, you put the scan in of whatever this item is, and they'll actually copy it. It will three-dimensionally copy it and kick it out the printer. You know, and there you have it. And I think they use an acrylic or some sort of plastic or something, you know, all different materials to do that. But what's going to happen when everyone starts just printing all these different things? And it's like, oh, I just printed it in my house. Here you go.
Right.
And then they talk to all these patents and all this different stuff. It's going to, the legality of all those things are going to come out. But one thing is for certain is that technology advances. It's always moving forward. And the important thing for us as a believer is like, what to do with this technology? At what point, you know, does it go too far? And really, how much information do you really need? I mean, it's like, at times you don't even want to turn on the TV. You don't even get on the internet because it's just like,
information overload.
Overload, TMI, too much. Just too much.
Won't be able to tell the difference between the the copied and the real.
Well, the thing is, when you look at, you know, a lot of today's news is, you know, a lot of kitten videos and insignificant. I was like, are you really still talking about the celebrity for like, this is your head story for 5 days? This is what news has boiled down to? You know, who wants to watch that? And so, you know, we need some biblical perspective behind the things that are happening. I guess that's why we enjoy what we're doing right now. But in terms of whatever happened to human interaction and exploration. There's so many people right now that are engaged with a phone or engaged with some sort of technology that they're just searching away, and now they're going to be scanning away. But whatever happened to like, hey, you know, actually talking to someone that actually has that knowledge and interacting with them.
Right.
And borrowing from their wisdom, from their knowledge, from what they learned. You know, the lost art of apprenticeship in a lot of businesses has gone away, where someone becomes an apprentice. They are learning under a skilled person in whatever field. I mean, I remember talking to someone who just had surgery. Pat, you were there.
Uh-huh.
And he says, yeah, the person who stitched me up had just learned how to do this on YouTube. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember the conversation. Yeah. I forget who it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, this person we know was having surgery, and they sliced it, cutting.
And they still let them do it?
Yes. Remember, the person was slicing a tomato or something in their house, and because I think they have diabetes or something, they don't know, they didn't know they were bleeding. And they went to the hospital, and the person is like,
"Oh yeah."
A practitioner says, "Yeah, I just saw this video. She was a nursing student or something."
And she was a student.
She was a student, and she's trying to get practice. She goes, "And I just saw this, how they did this on YouTube the other night. Do you mind if I practice on you?" And
he was like,
"Yeah, sure." Well, he was like, "Yeah, sure." You know, what was said, it was an easy process. I'm like, I don't care how easy it is. If you just saw it on YouTube, I'm not sure I want you to do it on me. Well, he did it. It worked out great.
Right.
And interesting. But what happened to this? And are we becoming lazy as a society, totally dependent on these search engines to tell us everything? Mm-hmm. To tell us everything. And at what point, you know, does this become too much? Imagine a world. Listen to this. Imagine a world where everyone has now this digital scanner. And they're going around scanning everything. Every item. And of course they're uploading it. Everything that they see, they start scanning people, start scanning faces. And all this stuff is uploaded. Well, guess what? They are already doing it. It's called a camera phone. You know what I'm saying? They're already taking pictures. All the scanner's doing, you know, is broadening that, is getting more of what they're doing. But think about your phone. The camera in your phone, if you have a newer phone, it's some of the best quality, you know, that replaces a lot of actual real cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get a 5-megapixel, a 12-megapixel, and the quality is outstanding. It's print quality. You know, as opposed to something you put on the web, doesn't have to be as clear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you print, things have to be, you know, more precise.
Mm-hmm.
They're already doing it.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to put scanners in people's hands so they can go scan away. Scan this, scan that. And it's like, okay. And then they become to share it. I mean, I saw somebody post something that said, yeah, my husband's having surgery and he got this and this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, TMI. I'm like, you know, I don't want to know that. But the society has twisted and turned in such a way where now it's all about sharing and posting and putting things up. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about, hey, what's our response? You know, are we just going to go with the flow? Are we going to look at this with a deeper understanding, a greater perspective, and understand, you know, how we can search God's word for truth and wisdom. So we need wisdom as things are unfolding and bringing to us. We need to discern, hey, how do I need to respond to this? How do I need to allow this in my family, not in my family? We need to talk about this. I'm amazed at the amount of things that just happen in technology, and just everyone just assumes that, hey, this is a good thing. Not necessarily.
Right.
So we need to pray. We need to get understanding. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more about this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's activist and lead singer of U2, Bono, describing why social justice is such a driving passion in his life.
Jesus begins his ministry by what? By quoting Isaiah, who walks into the temple and he said, that the blind may see, set the captives free, that the poor, all of the sort of justice agenda, that's how Christ began. So if we aren't following that, that's what was at the heart of, apart from personal redemption, which is the key, the second most important drive of the entire New Testament is against injustice and where we see it in little or large ways.
So where do you see injustice, and what can you do to help those who are suffering? Bono will be featured on our broadcast tomorrow, and you can hear that on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet, that clearing call.
Absolutely, absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about technology. We're talking about how things are advancing. And we're talking about how we need to respond to these technological advances. And what does this all mean? I mean, now we're looking at a device called the Scion. It's a digital scanner. It's the size of a USB port, if you will, a stick, and fitted on a keychain. And if you don't know an object, or your friend doesn't know an object, or whoever, you can begin to run this scanner across that object, that unknown thing to you, and you'll find out what it is. Because mm-hmm. you're used to typing in and Googling words, but you don't have any sort of reference to find out, what is this three-dimensional object in front of me? Mm-hmm. And so can you imagine a nation empowered with digital scanners, scanning people? That's my forehead, their eyebrow. Oh, that's so-and-so. You know what I'm saying? Well, they already have all kind of face identifying software, and they even know if you're putting on a mask, I guess because of the heat sensories, like, you know, they know you can't even get, you know, I mean, you can't mm-hmm. fool the system, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I'm getting it. And so what do? You know, we need understanding. We need wisdom. We need to know what is going on. And how this is all leading up to what? The mark of the beast. And in Revelation 13, verse 16, we'll just pick it up here, said, It is also forced on all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave. I think that's everybody. You know what I mean? To receive a mark on their right hands, or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, or it is the number of man. The number is 666. And so today, you're scanning apples. Tomorrow, they want to scan your hand. Mm-hmm. They want to scan your forehead. You know, and it's like, don't take the mark. Mm-hmm. Don't take the mark. And, you know, we have a certain amount of time left. And in the time that we have, we need to exercise wisdom. We need to mm-hmm. exercise good judgment. And we need understanding mm-hmm. from on high. We need understanding from God. That's why it's so important. Another reason to abide and have a relationship with mm-hmm. the Lord, that you're hearing his voice on a daily basis, so that he can give you an inner witness of, hey, this is good, this is not good. And all you're seeing is a conditioning of the mind. There, it's a behavior pattern that's starting to develop. I mean, you know, it took a while to where a cell phone is something that just a few people had, or this was a business tool, to now every person has a cell phone. Even children have a cell phone. It's so integrated that this is the main line. You ask someone for their home phone number, and they're like, let me give you my cell.
Yeah.
That just didn't happen overnight. There was a progression. There was a progression. Mm-hmm. And for comfort and convenience, man, people do anything.
We even had a recent segment that they were talking about the fact that it's, you know, I don't remember specifically what the gentleman had said, but it's like, it's causing us to think less. I encounter people on a daily basis. You're like, hey, as a secondary number, in case you lose your cell phone, what's your spouse's number? Let me go through my contacts real quick. I don't really know. Yeah. And it's just like, we've lost our ability to mm-hmm. remember. And I even think about that, the significance of generations, those that are older, you know, you ask them, hey, what's your home phone number? They'll pull out their wallet and they'll pull out a piece of paper that's folded 17 times and have an alphabetical list of contacts.
That was my grandfather.
but you think about, I mean, the wisdom of that. And you go, I mean, a lot of people remember their grandparents' house, and next to the phone, you have a list of emergency contacts. Mm-hmm. Now, our emergency contacts is on our phone.
Yeah.
And we don't think
about
it.
Heaven forbid we lose that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some sort of device gets launched or, you know, I don't know what you call those electromagnetic things that basically take all the power out and you lose all the cell phones.
Yeah, EMP.
Yeah, and then now what?
You're
not able to make a phone call. You're not able to get on the internet. You're not able to do anything.
Right.
And listen, going through some hurricanes, we realized that there are situations where people don't have, you know, you don't have cell phones. You don't have any kind of opportunity to, you know, make any calls out or do any kind of things with that, you know? Mm-hmm, so you're like, mm-hmm. okay, what do you do?
Right.
And so, you know, again, we're talking about seeking wisdom. We're talking about seeking guidance, and we're talking about doing some practical things. You know, you can do, there's the supernatural, right? And then there's the natural. Right, God gives you wisdom to do, exercise wisdom. But we need to be able to get to a place where we're not so dependent on technology, and also that the technology that we do use, we don't become a slave to it. Mm-hmm. We had some statistics at some time, and maybe we can make this related for you, how much time people spend on Facebook, all the different times that they are connected to their phones, that they live in a virtual, completely different world. You know, and it's time to say, wait a minute, do I get up to a cell phone? Do I go to bed to a cell phone? Mm-hmm. Is everything, you know, can I live a life apart from my phone?
Right.
And the great, you know, I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to be able to say, okay, here it's done.
Right.
And they're monitoring the cell phones. You know, it's the mobility. Mm-hmm. The mobility factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, these things, I mean, everywhere you go, they're watching you. There's a dot. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on regular internet, and you can type an address and use a mapping system.
Uh-huh.
And, man, the upgrade that was just done, I mean, you can almost peek into Windows. I mean, it is crazy.
Right.
And and I saw one recently. Of where they had a person in the driveway, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that mm-hmm. person did not even know they were in the driveway being photographed for your mapping, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like everything is out there.
Mm-hmm. I think about it before I left a voicemail to somebody recently, And they called me back and they had said, I didn't get a chance to listen to your voicemail. I just looked at the text of what you had said. And I was like, wait, what? What? And I was asking her about it. And she had said that when you call and you leave a voicemail, you can look at the phone. Like, let's say you don't have the time to listen. You can look at the phone and it basically your phone transcribes what you said to it. And it's just like, okay, if this is what I got over the counter, it's just like you think about the fact of like, what we're being, I mean, this is not like to, you know, instill fear or anything, but it's just like being mindful of the fact that what you're saying is getting written down somewhere. It's on a database. Like you're saying, talking about databases, it's getting written down.
Right. Yeah, and you might want to think about getting a landline because they can't monitor those because that's illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
You know, the whole thing here is wisdom, use technology. You know, I know people that are not using it. They want to stay off of it. But the whole deal with all of the technology is have the technology submit to you. You don't submit to the technology and don't have the technology run your life. It's just a tool. It's just another way that you can, you know, function in your life, but don't let it own you.
Right.
And that's the difference. Get back to pen and paper, abide with a journal and a pen. And write down, begin to write things down, begin to have human interaction, begin to talk to people and find out what they're doing. Don't get your source of what's happening in someone's life on a post. Go ahead and make that phone call and say, hey, what's up? Let's talk. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned. And he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God. You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part. Yeah. But
sure he thought it. I'm sure he thought it.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him, that if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now. 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook and it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up and just, you're joining us. And we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook. So it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm excited about our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience all around the nation and the world. Here to encourage you, to inspire, educate you, and my goodness, shed some light is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And Steve Kalischewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We're going to be talking about several things today. We're going to be talking about two books. Going to introduce them to you that just have come out about, my goodness, exposing Common Core and the truth about guns. But they just came out, and we're just going to share a little bit with you, and maybe you can check those out for yourself. And also, we're going to get to this in this program. We are going to do it for sure, but we're going to talk about the workings of men versus the workings of God and some statistics that were just shared about how parents are rating the values that they want to instill in their children all around the world. This is some interesting stuff, but they had these 11 categories of values, And what they wanted to do was see how every country, they polled 53,000 folks or something. And in that survey, they gave them 11 and said, here, rank these and what's mm-hmm. important. You're going to be interested to find out what things matter to people and what we can do to say, hey, let's say what's going to be on top of our list. But getting right into our program today, two books. One book is called Conform, Exposing the Truth About Common Core and Public Education. There's a lot of things that are going out today in terms of education. I mean, the schools, you know, we talked about in the previous program about the seven mountains of society's influence. Mm-hmm. Business, family, religion, arts. This is Glenn Beck with Kyle Olson. And we talked about these mountains, and one of these mountains is education.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's on the top of this mountain actually controls what happens on this entire mountain. And you think of how big education is and how kids have to go to school. They have to be educated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one way that they would want to have influence over your life and over your children is basically by what is being taught in the classroom. And let me tell you, not everything, not all the history. I mean, we got his story, but we didn't get the complete story. And we need to get the complete story of everything that happened. The good, the bad, and yes, the ugly. Because when we understand the whole truth, right? And nothing but the truth isn't what we ask them to say, right? The whole truth. When we understand the whole truth and we have perspective and context, then maybe we can avoid some of the negative things and the harmful, ugly things that have happened in our nation and around the world. But it starts with education. And so Common Core is something that is new. We've shared several segments, programs about Common Core. We'll make sure this is related. But the table of contents, if you will, I'm just going to read you a couple of these chapters. You may be interested in getting it. But the first chapter is entitled, You Can't Criticize Public Education If You Haven't Been in the Classroom. Chapter 2 is Critics of the System Are Just Teacher Bashers. And this is the part one. Part one is called The Truth About Education. Teacher unions put kids first. And just goes on. Teachers need tenure. Pay should be based on seniority, not performance. And I guess it just continues to go into what Common Core level is. Common Core is rigorous. School curriculum is based on a conservative, whites first worldview. Only people who go to a college of education should be teachers. And I guess this is dealing with some really interesting things. I mean, but you need to get educated.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be informed. You need to know. And another book that came out, I guess by Glenn Beck, and I don't know if there was another author with it, was called Exposing the Truth About Guns. And that's a whole, you know, information that you need to get downloaded, because this is the deal. What's being pushed out in the media, and if you see this all the time, a lot of these folks are just saying they're reading off of cue cards, and you know, there's a reason why they're so polished and it sounds so pretty and nice. You're just reading a script, you know, and after you get used mm-hmm. to reading a script, you can smile and look darling and do all those different things, but it's not their original thought. Somebody is behind putting that information out. And so, you know, there's a paradigm of worldview that's trying to be, you know, pushed out there in terms of gun control mm-hmm. and what guns do.
Right.
But the truth is that you have a Second Amendment right to bear arms. And it doesn't have to be just to, you know, just for hunting. You can have, you know, you have the right to defend yourself. And so get educated, get informed, so that you know your rights and what are the lies. Great way to dispel the lies by knowing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in time of abiding and just spending time with the Lord, I was reading in Philippians, Steve. I love this book. I mean, I love all the books in the Bible, but, you know, I enjoy Maria would laugh at me all the time because I'd like to say, well, this is my favorite scripture. She'd say, all of them are your favorite scriptures. I go, I know. I just love them all.
Maria?
Yeah. Maria. Special shout out for Maria Padilla.
Ah, Maria.
Maria. In Toys R Us, we give you a shout out today. Steve, Pat didn't remember. I remember that you are Toys R Us. But in Philippians 2:13, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And I read that and I said, okay, Steve, this is interesting. Think about it. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And the verses before that says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you understand that if God saved you, and he has, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you could not save yourself. As much as maybe you tried, you couldn't save yourself. You can't save yourself. But if God has saved you and you know him as Lord and Savior, God is the one who is working in you. Mm-hmm. And he's working in you when you yield to him. What do you mean yield? Well, when you surrender, right, to his word, to God's will, right, mm-hmm. to his purpose, and to his ways. Because, you know, there's two tracks. You have your will, your purpose, and your ways, and then you have God's will, God's purpose, and God's ways. Mm-hmm. I would just say that his track is better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've tried mine, and it didn't work out really good at all. But it's important to know that these things that come out of your life as you're growing are either going to come out of the workings of man, or they're going to come out of the workings of God. You know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. It's understanding that it is Christ who is living in you, that is actually possessing you, that is going to bring transformation in your life, and that happens when you yield to him. It's amazing that when someone sees something that happens in the news or in their city or in their school that's absolutely horrific and tragic, you know, you hear these awful, crazy things about just murder and mutilation, and you may hear someone say, "Ah, that person had to be possessed by the devil. It just had to be. Who mm-hmm. does that? That is not normal, right?" And so you have no problem having a grid for that the enemy could possess someone. But you know what? God possesses believers. He's inside of us. He takes hold of us when we actually yield to him. And the whole thing is not how much you can do for God or how much transformation you can bring upon yourself. You know, there's people that just, you know, try and try. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And the harder you try, the harder you say, I'm not going to, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. This ain't working.
All right.
You couldn't even save yourself. How are you going to fix yourself?
Hmm.
You couldn't save yourself. How are you going to fix yourself?
Right.
And so they'll take polls, they ask people questions, they read books, they study, and it's like, hey, dude, you just need to yield to God. And when you become a yielded vessel, then what God wants to do on the land and in the earth and in your life, it comes to pass. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to override your will.
Right.
He's not going to override, you know, your ability to make a decision, mm-hmm. right? I love all the people who say, yeah, God made me marry this person. It's like, dude, if God had this 5-7 billion people in the world and he gave you this one person, if there's any decision that he would want to override your will, believe me, it would be your decision to know him.
That's right.
But he doesn't even make that decision for you. So mm-hmm. he didn't make you get this person. You know what I mean? That means he'd have to own your marriage and the decisions you guys are making it. You got to own that yourself. But anyway, mm-hmm. that was a side commercial, you know?
Right.
But God has a plan. He has his own will. And if we're truly walking with the Lord, right? If we're truly walking in that intimate relationship, Steve, where we're abiding and walking with him, then what happens is that we begin to yield, we begin to surrender, and we say, God, you lead the way. And if you've never done that before, it's not an easy thing. If you've never, because listen, this your whole life, you've been doing things your way. You've been the captain of the ship. You've said where you want to go, what you wanted to do. If it felt good, you did it. If it seemed right to you, you did it. And now what you're saying is that when you've given your life to God, you are surrendering to his lordship. You're surrendering. You're dethroning yourself as king or queen. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, you're the king of my heart. I've been bought with a price. When you think about spiritual gifts, they are not a man or a woman working these gifts, but it's actually God, the Holy Spirit, who's working those gifts through you. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says they are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. See, this is not about a man doing something, working something up. This is about a yielded vessel. And it's always like, Lord, what do you want to say? Lord, what do you want to do? Here I am. Send me. But if you have here I go and God back up, you know, it's interesting when you realize, did God say that? Are you, instead of, you know, trying to get God to bless what you want to do, why don't you do what God's already blessing? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I just want the blessing of God on this. It's like, that's all cool, but God's already blessing something. Why don't you do what he's, you know, he's already blessing and yield to that, and you'll see that it'll work out a whole lot better. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about the workings of man versus the workings of God and how living a surrendered life is the way to live when we surrender our will and our ways to Jesus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I don't shop. I don't know. I don't shop. I'm blessed enough to have a wife.
I've seen you shop.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Go with a list.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But we got this wonderful pollen blowing around right now. Trees are going like, yes, no, no, yes, no, no, yes. Yeah, they don't even know what to do, you know? And so I'm having this congestion. So I stopped by a CVS drugstore to be able to buy some Mucinex, like this kind of thing that's a decongestant and that kind of thing. And I thought, I'm just going to run in there and get some decongestant, like sinus medicine, I guess you would call it. And so I go down this drug. I think a lot of drugs all the way down. You can from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. They got a lotion, a pill, or something for it. And but when I got to this particular medicine, it just was a piece of cardboard. It was a piece of cardboard. They don't even put the medicine on the shelf. I'm like, what? You know. So I had to read the cardboards.
Oh,
and then I took the piece of cardboard, and I had to read, where do you go with this piece of cardboard? And you don't go to the cashier. You have to go back to the drug counter.
Oh, my pharmacist. Goodness.
It's a pharmacist in the back. And I go back, and I said, do you have any of these? And they're like, looking like,
why do you want this?
Yeah, why? They're kind of watching my eye gate, you know, that kind of thing, and looking. I'm like, I got congestion. I got congestion. And he looks at me. He says, we don't have the 12. We have the 24. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, it was just like I was doing, coming from my law enforcement days. I felt like I was undercover, you know?
Yeah, right.
And finally he pulls it out and he says, charges me $1 million for it. And and you look down this little credit card thing that you use a credit or a check card or whatever for. And he says, you have to read this statement. And I had to read a legal statement from the law that said that I'm going to go to jail. I'm like, I'm getting nervous. I don't know if I should get this Mucinex or not. What have we gotten into? I'm thinking, like, this could just blow my whole ministry here. They got cameras on me. I'm buying Mucinex, you know? and they'll never believe that I just have congestion. And I'm sweating it. And of course, you know me, I'm like, I'm talking out loud. Are you serious? I feel like I'm breaking a law here. I said, can I use your name? I said, is this real? Can I take a picture of it? Like John would do. And then I had to sign it. I had to sign that I read the statement and that I would go to jail if I misuse my Mucinex, the congestion medicine. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought I was done, but after that I had to pay for it. And I felt so like, I got to watch this stuff. I got to go buy me a safe or something, you know what I'm saying? And put this stuff in a safe. I mean, what if somebody breaks into my house and takes it? And they go, like, you had this drug in your house. And it's like, and I said, what in the world does somebody do with sinus medicine? At my age, it just makes me irritable when I take it. You know? What would you do? And he said, they make crystal meth with it.
Oh, wow.
They make crystal meth with antihistamines and stuff that's in that particular medication. I'm thinking, my God.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. My goodness. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing?
You up,
and besides,
man.
One pack of it costs $25. I mean, oh, I can imagine how much this crystal meth costs. I'm like, maybe it's cheaper.
Wow.
I walked out of there thinking, like, my goodness, I just felt like I came from a police state. I felt like I just came from a police state. But America is changing as we know it. So I just want to encourage you, when you do go to get some medication like sinus meds, be prepared to sign your life away. And yes, you can be arrested for it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we were talking before the break about the workings of man versus the workings of God. And if you're not careful, you know, the fleshly tendency is to try to work things out on your own. And if you've come to Christ, listen, you know, this is a journey. Steve was talking in a previous program of the journey that he was on as God was bringing transformation in his own life. You're on a journey. God is bringing transformation, but that happens when we surrender and we yield. So the problem that we got ourselves in is the fact we actually thought we were the boss. And when we were the boss, then we actually, you know, made some mistakes and we crashed things and we just made a mess of everything. And so when we come to the foot of the cross and we give our lives to God, then what happens is that we begin to surrender and say, okay, God, we're going to yield and we're going to allow you to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
For you to bring the things that are supposed to come out of my life, love, joy, peace, you know, obedience, you're going to bring those out. I'm not going to become, you know, go to a rigid place. But it becomes, you know, again, yielded. And so what do? We yield. We yield ourselves to his love. We yield ourselves to his direction. It's a surrendered life. And a lot of times, Pat,
mm-hmm.
people fall into this thing where they want to make things happen. They want to change their whole salvation. You know, they're like, you know, they're going to do this thing. But it doesn't work well. And what you need to do is take your hands off the wheel. Take your hand off the wheel and let God drive your life. You know, God is the one who will tell us. He tells us when to go. He tells us when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you when to slow down. Hey, you're getting way ahead of yourself. Hasty. You're making hasty decisions. You need to slow down. And he'll tell you when to speed up. He said, hey, you're moving too slow on this. God will tell you, I told you this, and you've been dragging your feet, and you're dragging your feet. You need to obey quick.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell you where to turn. You got to turn here in your life, and you got to make this directional move here. You're going fine in this one direction. But when you allow God to be the driver,
mm-hmm.
and you become the passenger. When you allow him to call the shots, then you're saying, oh, turn where, God? Here? And he'll even tell you, Steve, where to take an exit. Get off of this thing. Get off of this road. Get off of this road. I have a new place, a new area in your life. There's another journey that I'm bringing you on, and you've rode this road well, right? Mm-hmm. But it's time to take an exit because there's another journey. There's another place. Mm-hmm. But all of this happens. It all happens when we yield ourselves. And it's a powerful word, when we surrender ourselves. You got to understand that Jesus himself did this in his own life. He didn't come with his own agenda. He didn't walk this earth because he had a plan and a mission that he was going to do. His life was completely and 100% yielded to the Father. And so he would abide with God, and God would tell him where to go. He'd give him words of knowledge. He'd give him, you know, words of wisdom, you know, and it would just flow through him. And he would just he didn't do nothing or say nothing outside of what his Father was telling him and showing him. And he was okay with saying, hey, my life is what you allow it to be. And I think that this is exactly, we need to follow his example. We need to say, Lord, I'm not only going to give you the keys, you know what I'm saying, but I'm going to say, here you go. Have your way. This is important because if Steve didn't make this transition in his own life, he'd still be parked in the driveway, actually in the parking lot of his apartment building, and he never would have ventured across the street. Right, Steve?
That's the truth.
But you yielded.
Yeah.
You yielded and said, okay, not my will, but your will be done. And that's a continual process of living in the life of God. You become... You know, people say, well, you know, that scripture that God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so, you know, I want this. It's like, dude, let me help you out here. The whole idea is that your desires go away. And what you trade in your desires for his desires. And when your desires become like his desires, then he'll give you the desires of the heart. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. He'll give you the nations. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll give you souls. Because those are his desires. And so, you know, but it's about the yielded life. Because there are things that you can say. It's like, it's not that you don't have words. I understand. I know you can respond to this situation. But you yield it to the Holy Spirit and to God. And you said, no, I am not going to say that right now. I'm not going to say that. Right. You know, it's not that you didn't know what to do. I understand. You know how to fix this. You know, you know what to do. But what you know to do is not necessarily the right thing to do. And so you say, nope. I'm going to yield to God, his word, and his ways. Because the life that I'm living in the body, hey, you know, it's Christ living in me. I've died to myself. Mm-hmm. And the biggest struggle I see in believers' lives is the fact that they're still fighting to be in control. They're still fighting to have their way. Mm-hmm. They're still fighting to go through this life with their own plan. And it's like, it doesn't work well like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're supposed to come to God and in all our ways acknowledge him, right? And he will what?
Direct our paths.
But if we don't inquire of God, if we don't inquire of the Lord, if we just make decisions flippantly without even saying, God, you know, he needs to be invited. He needs to be a welcomed person in your life where you say, God, hey, have your way. I only want to live a pleasing life. And when you do that, it's not about doing more. It's not about fixing it more. It's about allowing God to work. He knows what to do. You just got to get out the way. Let him work in your life. Let the workings of God transform you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory being revealed.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.